On what basis can a God who's holy and just accept and forgive faulty humans? This is Carl Cosart from Walwell University School of Theology. Welcome to Good Word, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue our series of Bible lessons based on Paul's letter to the Galatians. And to help us explore this important subject, I've invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Paul Dibdahl and Dr. Dave Thomas, who are both professors in the School of Theology here at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, welcome, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Today we come to one of the central metaphors that deal with the issue of salvation in the writings of the Apostle Paul, and that is the issue of justification by faith. And in fact, this is an important discussion. We mentioned that Galatians is probably the very first book written by the Apostle Paul, and perhaps even the first book written in the New Testament. And that means that in Galatians chapter 2, verses 5 through 16, we have our first occurrences of this word justification, and it appears, I think, about four times there. So Paul repeats it multiple times. The question is going to be, what is this justification? But first, let's read the passage. Paul says in Galatians 2:15, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified." So, can you give me some background, some insights? What is this word justification? Where does it come from? What does it mean, and why is Paul so concerned about it?
Well, I don't know that I want to talk about the word as much as I want to talk about the concept, Carl, because justification really is, as I understand, Paul uses it. He uses it in a very strictly legal sense. It's a legal term which means to be exonerated or to be freed. To be declared just in the presence of the law. Now, the need for justification is interesting. It presumes that somehow you have done wrong, or that you some accusation has been brought against you, and so now you're in a court. And of course, when you extend this to a discussion about God and salvation, there are a number of dynamics that come to play here that are very interesting to me. One is, in what sense is God aggrieved? And theologians talk, I think the best way to understand is to realize that God has an inherent characteristic of holiness, that he has no evil resident within him, no interest in evil. You and I are often fascinated by evil. I once preached a sermon entitled, "How Much Can I Sin and Still Get to Heaven?" And there was a great deal of interest in that before the sermon was ever preached. And I laughed about that because it reflected to me the capacity of human beings. The word titillate is a good word. We are interested. When opportunities for wrongdoing come, we are interested. God is repulsed.
How far can I go?
Yeah. How much can I sin and still make it? Within the nature and character of God, there is a revulsion of evil toward evil, that God is made sick by the presence or even the prospect of evil. And so this is linked to the holiness of God in Christian theology. And so you get this picture here that here is an almighty God who is repulsed or revulsed by the presence of sin. And, you know, in the normal process of events, all God would need to do is show up and sin would be consumed because God is like a consuming fire. And so if we as human beings have done wrong, it's not that God is suddenly angry and he's going to pick on us and zap us. The fact is that his very nature has been not offended. I don't want to use the word offended, but God is facing, and evil is something in the universe that God cannot abide because he's holy, not because he's mean. And so the question of justification in Paul's thought becomes very big. If we are the sinners and we have a God who is repulsed by evil and we are caught up in evil, there has to be some mechanism for finding a way of our escape. And the good news of the gospel, as far as justification, is that Paul says that in Christ, or because of what Christ did, God has found a way to treat us as if we never offended. And that, I think, is the key in justification. It's not asking whether you're guilty or innocent. It asks, do you face the penalty of the law or not? And because of the work and function and the person of Christ, the gospel says we can be justified, that the offense that sin has created will be resolved, but not at our expense because of what Jesus did.
So it sounds like to me that this is really an important metaphor to help us understand just how serious sin is to God. Because our tendency is to downplay it and think, well, you know, my job is to sin, God's job is to forgive, yeah. So isn't this a great relationship?
I found it was a very dramatic moment in my life and my spiritual experience when I realized that the issue is the holiness of God, mm-hmm. that sin is so repulsive to God. It's like the old OK Corral. The crook and the sheriff cannot be in the same street at the same time. Something's going to give somewhere. Now, you know, that metaphor, I'm not suggesting God's having a shootout with us, but I understand that God is so repulsed by evil, he cannot abide its presence, and it will be destroyed. And the wrath of God, actually, is a very deliberate thing. It's not God getting mad and losing his temper. The best definition I ever read of the wrath of God is it is his settled determination to rid the universe of evil. And so if we want to embroil ourselves in evil, we have an appointment with the wrath of God, not because God was mad, but because the holiness of God demands that sin be eradicated. Now, the good news is that God is doing it in a predictable and in a revealed way so that we don't have to be caught by surprise, that we can know that this is what's coming. And I think the destruction that the Bible talks about in the very end is merely God being true to his holy self and simply unveiling his glory, and sin is consumed.
I like the verse that Paul mentions in Romans chapter 3, verse 26, that kind of talks about this. He talks about the work of Christ made it possible for God to be just. I mean, this is a just judge, honest, righteous, a just mm-hmm. judge, condemned sin, to be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in him. So this is the dilemma, because God is a just judge, which means you punish the wicked. But at the same time, he wants to justify the wicked. And the solution to that ultimately is in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But, you know, the question of forgiveness here theologically is a profound question. You know, if you offend me, I can say, I forgive you. And it's, you know.
Seems simple.
But if my very makeup, if the nature of my very makeup has been compromised by the appearance, by something you did wrong against me, which is unlikely to happen in the human context, how can I even forgive? Because I then compromise my own sense of being, which is the situation God faces. So the issues that surround justification are profound. Mm. And I agree with you that if you understand them, you will not see sin as some little thing where, if I misbehave today, then I can get forgiveness tomorrow. It's far more complex than that.
I can imagine, too, this had to be a vivid experience for the Apostle Paul, because he found himself many times placed before Roman magistrates.
Imprisoned and accused.
And understand that his judicial metaphor has inadequacies. It's, you know, this is not the last word on justification. It's merely a powerful tool to help us understand. Justification is bigger than just a legal agreement. Mm. But I think this, in Paul's writing, it describes the essence that because of what Jesus did and who he is and what he did, and that includes his ministry, his person, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. Mm. Don't forget the resurrection. Mm-hmm. God can say, all right, human beings, you no longer face the consequence of sin. You may be justified. God can say, I will now treat you as if you never breached, as if you never sinned.
And that's a profound thing. I find it interesting, too, that in a case of something like this, this is not simply about God just forgiving us. Justification is about God, yes, forgiving us, but more than that, it's more than just being innocent. He actually makes us righteous. He declares us to be righteous, and then the Holy Spirit works in our lives to make what is true of us in Christ true in our experience. So this is not just that God somehow clears the slate, and then I really try hard, and then I earn my way.
Yeah.
This is complete exoneration.
And justification does not deal with guilt or innocence. It deals with culpability. Mm. Are you culpable? Mm. The answer is because of Jesus. The answer is no.
Now, this is a metaphor, and there are, you know, I guess, weaknesses with all metaphors. What are perhaps some of the difficulties that this might overlook, or issues it might overlook? Any thoughts?
Well, I mean, one of them is what we've already mentioned here, is that you might begin to treat sin as a very light thing. Oh, well, you know, I can always go get forgiveness. God is gracious. He'll forgive me. You missed the point completely. You have not understood the profundity, the profound nature of the problem of sin. When you understand that, you will not be so quick to dash in and
other metaphors that I think are helpful, moving from the courtroom to the family, and to me, the family metaphor is one of the is a powerful one that doesn't balance but adds to this, the relational aspect that is part of salvation.
That's a nice part too, that we know that in Paul many times. I mean, this is not the only metaphor he uses. He uses family, adoption.
We're adopted. That's
All kinds of things that give us a real vivid picture. Yeah.
And I think you have to put those all together. We make a mistake when we try to pick only one and major in that. We have to put them all together because the picture is bigger than any one of the metaphors.
And I think it becomes very powerful for who God is and what he's done in our lives and what he continues to want to do in us as well. This is certainly a theme that is far bigger than we can encapsulate here in our little discussion today, but we hope this has given our listeners some insight into the powerful metaphor that has been significant for Christianity. So thank you, Dave, and thank you, Paul. And I think justification by faith does stand at the heart of what Christianity is all about. It's the simple message that by birth, we are all in need of a new identity, one that is free from the blemishes and stains and mistakes that make up our lives. And this is exactly what God has done for us in Christ. In Christ, God has rewritten our history. He's given us a new identity, the life of his Son. Instead of looking at our own lives in despair, we are called to have faith in the faithfulness of Christ, who became and is our Savior. As we continue to consider Paul's letter to the Galatians this quarter, we have a special offer to you, our listeners. It's a brand new book I've written especially for this study. It's called Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Each chapter is full of spiritual insights and stories that really help to explain Paul's letter in more detail and to show its relevance for our lives today. This week's chapter is entitled, Our New Identity in Christ. We'll be glad to send you a copy of the book this week. We're simply asking for a donation of $20 or more when you request this insightful book. I'm sure you'll find it well worth it, and your gift will help support the radio ministry of Good Word. To request your copy of Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church, call us this week at 509-527-2194. The number again is 509-527-2194. Go online to wallawalla.edu/goodword or send us an email at goodword@wallawalla.edu. We do ask for a donation of $20 when you request Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Remember also that our past and present programs are available to download or for listening online. You can learn more about that at our webpage, wallawalla.edu/goodword. Thank you again for listening to today's program, and please join us again next week as we continue to explore Galatians and the difference God wants it to make in our lives. Until then, for Good Word, I'm Carl Kosar.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.